whenever you're talking about an animal coming into the feed yard, and then with all that stress on them, if their guts and stuff are messed up, well, it's going to be hard for that animal to take the nutrients to where they need to be. And that's a big deal, is getting the guts working correctly.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac Bovagen Platinum Vaccines. Start your protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection. Data shows most cattle don't get enough vitamin D, which can impact health and performance. High D from DSM Firmenich can help improve cattle's vitamin D status. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today. Lallemand Animal Nutrition offers microbial solutions to boost animal welfare and performance.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast. I am your host, Brandy Buzzard, and it's my pleasure to bring you the latest trends and issues from the best and brightest minds in the beef industry. Today, we are joined by Kirk Sparkman, a third-generation cattle feeder who is the owner-operator of Sparkman Cattle Feeders south of Hereford, Texas. We've got a lot to talk about today in terms of cattle feeding, animal health, and all those other related things on this episode sponsored by Pro Earth Animal Health. So with that, let's dive right in. Welcome to the podcast, Kirk. How are you today?
I'm great. Glad to be here today, Brandy. Just good to see you and good to be on the show. So,
well, we're really happy to have you here, and we've got a lot to talk about. The bio that I just read is very short, but I know you've been involved in cattle feeding and the beef industry for a really long time. So to start off with, if you could just bring us up to speed on your background, you know, how you got started in cattle feeding in the beef industry, and just kind of, you know, your path so far.
I was born and raised in it. So, I mean, I've been in the cattle industry my whole life. My granddad started it. I guess I knew from as soon as I could start figuring out what I want to do in life. Well, all I wanted to do was run cattle and work horses. So that's been a life dream of mine. So that's where I went. And I got into the feed yard with my granddad and my dad. And so that's where I'm at. And I love working with cattle. I love working with animals and horses and the whole nine yards. So that's what drawed my attention to it, was my granddad, I guess.
Is stress affecting your bottom line? Even routine handling, inclement weather, weaning, and dietary changes can significantly lower the rumen pH, causing cortisol levels to spike. Cortisol not only compromises the immune system, but also suppresses normal appetite and feed consumption. The solution? Cattle Active. Increase production and reduce the impacts of stress on your cattle for cents a day. Cattle Active restores the balance naturally. Want to learn more how a feeding program, including Cattle Active, can improve both profits and herd health? Visit us today at proearthanimalhealth.com. Be proactive with Cattle Active.
And so you mentioned, do you have the cattle feeding operation, but do you have any cow calf on the side or anything, or do you strictly devote all your time to the cattle feeding and the horses?
I do have a few cow calves. We used to run more cow calves back in the day, but as we kind of got in a drought situation and we kind of got where we had to kind of sell down the cow calf. So we do have some cow calf operation. I probably run 50 cows and cow calf deal on the side, but our mainest deal is a feed yard. And that's the big deal, is a feed yard and running yearlings and taking them plumb up the fat, the butcher. And we pre-con cattle as well.
Well, 50 pairs is not a small number of cows. I mean, that's still a time commitment there in and of itself. But you mentioned a drought there, you know, that you had to sell down some of your cows because of a drought. And I don't know about you out in Hereford, Texas, but here in Southeast Kansas, we haven't been immune to the drought. What challenges, drought or otherwise, has owning a feed yard thrown your way over the past, I don't know, 2-3 years or so?
Well, during a drought and the lack of water, we used to be able to irrigate a lot of country around us, and our irrigation is gone. We don't have as much water resource to irrigate with, so we're having to rely more on the good Lord to send water our way. So with that, your increase in prices of feed, your commodities, we run silage and hay and corn and all these products. Well, all these things, it takes water to grow them. And whenever you're short on water, well, that makes your crops cost more and your commodities are more. The the product itself, the calves, you know, all the drought throughout the country, so many cows went to the packing house, and with this happening, well, there's a shortage of cattle out there to even get, makes the prices higher, your commodities are higher. So in reality, I mean, at the end, you've got a very high dollar product to market.
Well, for sure. You mentioned silage. What kind of are you feeding? Corn silage, sorghum silage? What kind of silage are you feeding most years out there?
In the past, we were feeding corn silage. It's got a lot more, it's a little higher in protein and stuff. But like I say, with the loss of some of our irrigation, we've had to convert over to sorghum silage because it doesn't take quite as much water. We can get more tonnage and with less water. So we converted over to sorghum silage to try to save water.
We've actually on our ranch here in Southeast Kansas, we've actually did forage sorghum the past 2, maybe 3 years for that exact reason. It's, you know, it doesn't take as much water. We were using a drought resistant strain. And so
That
was really helpful. That helps a lot. And in the past three years, we because of the market the way it is, we started running grass cattle. Also, I live here on kind of like outside the Flint Hills, but there's still quite a bit of fescue. So we're running grass cattle because of the market, and then giving those stalkers in the early months of the year all the sorghum silage that they could eat. So it has worked pretty well for us in that drought, you know, the drought tolerant sense of the word.
Correct.
Yeah. So when you've got cattle coming into the feed yard there, what kind of health, you know, animal health measures are you taking when those cattle arrive?
Whenever they come in, we'll IBR them and seven-way. We'll double worm them and try to vaccinate them correctly to try to get them immune to as much as we can. Hopefully they had some vaccinations prior to us, but whenever they're coming from, whenever them cattle are coming from, like, up, I mean, a lot of these cattle are hauled to us from 15 to 20 hours away. And when they're on a truck for that amount of time, it makes it tough. Whenever they hit that feed yard, they've got a climate change. They've been on a truck for a lot of hours. It puts a lot of stress and a lot of drama on that animal. And so with that, it takes a lot of work. You need the right nutrients. You need the right water supply, and just to try to get them cattle hit the ground running the best you can.
Yeah, for sure. When you say double worm, do you do like a drench and a pour on at the same time?
We do a drench and an injectable.
Okay, drench and injectable.
Well,
gotcha.
Yeah, we try to kill all the. We try to deworm them the best we can to get everything. We try to kill the external, internal, everything we can get right there, so that to try to clean that calf up from. So that is, I mean, like you say, you know, whenever you're talking about an animal coming into the feed yard, and with all that stress on them, if their guts and stuff are messed up, well, it's going to be hard for that animal to take the nutrients to where they need to be. And that's a big deal, is getting the guts working correctly.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if they're riddled with parasites, your expensive feed that you're feeding out there is going to go to feeding those parasites and not to feeding your cattle. So you definitely want to get rid of those as much as you can.
Yes, ma'am. We try to clean them up best we can. And like I say, get the calf off the running and hitting the feed bunk. And I mean, that's our biggest deal, is getting feed in them. Getting them filled back up is one of the big, that's a big key. Quicker you can get them to hit the bunk and take off on the feed bunk, that's going to make a big difference.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So how do you measure, you know, you've got all these inputs from the, you know, they step off the truck and boom, you guys are putting inputs into them to try to get them rolling, let their feet hit the ground, you know, or get their feet underneath them and get to go into the bunk. How do you measure the return on investment on, you know, these different measures that you're using in the treatments?
The best return on most of your investments is every time you stick a needle in one to doctor him, it's hurting. It's costing money. It's knocking that calf back where he's not going to grade yield. We have all of our cattle that we run, we hang them up. Therefore, we're going off grade yield at the packing house. So if we're sticking a needle in them to doctor them, well, that's going to hurt us because every time you stick, if they get sick, you doctor them, you drop them a grade. And then you've got to try to make that grade back. And it's hard. It's hard to come back. And with the antibiotics we've got today, they've got some good antibiotics out there, but they're so strong and stuff. And then when you do die to them, well, then it's just like with us, with people. Whenever you kill the good bugs, you're killing the bad bugs too. You're killing the bad bugs plus the good bugs at the same time. We've got to kill the bad bugs when they're sick, but then you're hurting the good bugs. So then you're messing them up. And that's where we've got to try to find something to promote the gut, to help that gut. You know, I'd said for years and years ago, I talked about, you know, we've got these antibiotics for respiratory, but we've got nothing to help the gut. And the gut's where the problem is. If we don't fix the gut, we can't help the calf, irregardless with the antibiotics. And I think that's still a big deal today, is we're killing the virus they've got for a minute, but then we're tearing their guts up, and we can't get that calf to come back on feed. We can't get that calf to take back off. So therefore, you either got a chronic or you got a casualty right there.
Well, that's an interesting way to put it, a chronic or a casualty. Yeah. Those are not two that's not two words you want to hear when you're in a feed yard.
No, those are, I mean, you want to talk about killing you on the price end whenever you've got that much animal that costs that kind of money. And then whenever you put that kind of feed into him that costs a lot of money, well, every time you lose one, that's a big loss.
That's a real big loss. What's that? You think maybe 2,800 rough math on a fat steer right now? I guess you're retaining ownership through the packer. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, okay. We take everything to the packer. So yeah, we're retaining ownership all the way. So yeah, by the time we get to the packer, I mean, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we shipped some. They brought 203, and we had some that brought 211. They were,
that's pretty, a lot of money.
They were pretty good cattle, and they weighed 1,300 pounds. So 1,300 pounds times $2.11, that comes into a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, that chronic casualty plays real big when
very you big
play margins and price tags like that, for sure.
You sure don't want to drag one off.
No, sir. No, you do not. Well, I know that, you know, in previous talking, and you know, when I was reading some information that you shared earlier, that you're a big proponent of cattle active. And so I just wondering if you could share more about that. Maybe that fits into your gut health that you were talking about earlier.
It really does. And that is where, whenever I first heard about it and they brought it out and wanted to try it, we were one of the first ones that was putting it in our feed. I think we were the first one that actually put it in the feed. But I could see whenever you're feeding cattle and with the technology we've got today, and you're reading bunks, you know, with a computer, well, you can tell when those cattle start coming up on consumption. I mean, day by day, you can tell they're increasing consumption just right away. Whenever I started putting cattle active in the feed, they started jumping up on consumption 7 to 10 days quicker than before I started putting it in. So whenever you're talking about really getting cattle to jump up on consumption, the quicker you can do it, the better off you are. So 7 to 10 days makes a dynamic difference in the calf to try to get him to step up.
Absolutely. And so just to clarify, this is a supplement that you're pouring on feed, right?
It's actually we put it through a micro machine, and it's a powder. It's a powder that goes through the micro machine with your other stuff, and it's just mixed in your feed with it.
Okay.
And so it's real easy to use. You run it through the micro. They've got different sources of it, and they've got where you can put it through a micro machine. They've got it in some pellet form. They've even got a drench where you can drench your cattle with it, and that's a good deal too. If you drench them with it, it helps them to get them to water quicker. It makes them want to drink more, because a lot of these cattle too, when they come to us, where they came from, they're drinking out of a dirt tank. They weren't drinking out of a stock tank. Mm-hmm. They were drinking out of the ground, so they don't understand to go to a stock tank to drink. So right. So their drench can help as well to get them to help go to water to want to drink. But I really like the part of putting it in the feed to get them cattle up on consumption on feed quicker. and better. And then also we found we're feeding it all the way through. We've got it in our starter ration, our grow ration, our finish ration. And we feed it all the way through because we're finding that even on the inside, on the end of it, like we're retaining ownership, the plumb of the packer. So we see it as we're going to the packer, we're seeing that it's helping our grade and the cattle, helping the cattle to grade better because we're keeping that gut working better all the way through. It's just like with people. I mean, people, that they start talking about guts and gut issues and stuff like that and your pH. Okay, pH. Well, that's what it does, is it keeps the pH correct in that animal. Well, it's the same with us. When anything starts going on with people, they want to get that pH correct. Well, why don't we do the same thing with our animal? Mm-hmm. I mean, it don't make no sense. We fix us, but we won't fix the animal.
Yeah.
So we need to fix that animal. We need to get the pH correct. So if we're keeping this in them on a daily basis, then it's helping to keep that pH correct all the way through.
Just, and for our audience who are not aware of Cattle Active, it's a prebiotic that works on pH in the rumen. So it doesn't have live microbes. It's a prebiotic, but it allows those microbes to rebound more quickly during stressful times. It helps the cattle rumen stay more stable. So it really works hard to minimize the impact of stress and reduce inflammation and improve nutrient absorption. So just that's a little bit about it. So it sounds like you're a avid and supporter of it and a big user of it. What made you want to start using it?
Like I said, I've always said guts were the problem. I mean, for years and years, I said, we got to fix the gut. We've got antibiotics, but what about the gut? Mm-hmm. And whenever they brought this to me and they said, hey, this is going to help your guts, I said, okay, I'm on board. If we can fix the gut, I'm in. Because I've always said that's our problem. And they've had other things. They've had other drenches in the past that this is supposed to help the gut. Okay, they've had probios and stuff like that. And them are good things too. But with this, I can do it daily. It just in my feed. I can drench them through the chute. They've also got tubs. And like on my cow-calf deal, I'll put out protein tubs that's got cattle active in it. For my cow calves as well. They've got it in protein tubs. They've got it in some alfalfa pellets. They've got it where you can just top dress your feed with it. They got it where you can mix it with it. And then, like I say, the drench, that when you run them through the chute, a lot of people, when they work their calves on the cows, they'll drench them on the cow, drench them again when they wean them. It helps to reduce that stress coming off the cow as well. And then when we get them in the yard, naturally, it's in all my feed. So
yeah,
once they hit my place, they're on it from start to finish. So,
you know, you found something that works for your system and that you have a really great grasp of the ROI of the, you know, the return on investment for it. And, you know, anytime a producer, whether it be a cattle feeder or cow-calf guy or a backgrounder, finds something that works in their system and you can have a measurable, you know, tangible return on investment, like, you know, that's invaluable.
It is. And I mean, that's a big deal, is we've got to figure out how to, we just talked about a while ago what these animals cost from start to finish. And you've got a lot of investment right there. So if you can take just a little bit of something here to help those guts to produce it to here, to the final end, and it, for the price of it, for what you're getting out of it, well, it's a no-brainer for me.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you're talking about the big hit in financial, and they're worth so much. When we run stalkers, I just feel so stressed. I think I need a dose of Cattle Active because during when they're in our own, like when we own them and they're running on grass, and I'm just like, I'm telling them, please make good choices. You know, telling the cattle this. Like,
yeah.
Don't run through a fence. Don't get, you know, don't break your leg. Just
exactly.
Don't do anything stupid. Be okay. And then as soon as that truck pulls away, because we usually have sold a load or two, like right off the ranch, you know, so that pot pulls away. And I breathe a deep sigh of relief because they're not my stress anymore. They're somebody else's stress. I know the check is coming. I'm not freaked out. Like, just, they're worth too much to lose them, you know? And so you got to take care of them and do the things that you know are going to help you have the healthiest cattle you can and get you through till they're hanging on a chain.
That's a fact. You need to do everything you can to benefit the calf. And like I say, this is one of the few things that I found that really, really helps that gut system. I mean, I take it myself. So if I'm going to take it myself, I'm dang sure going to feed it to my calves. So
yeah.
I mean, my cattle are my livelihood. That's everything. That's my whole livelihood. So we try to take care of them the best way we can. And I mean, if you can fix that gut and get that pH correct and keep, and then all on top of that, it's all natural. I mean, that's another deal. That Cadillac, if it's all natural, it doesn't hurt anything. I mean, they've got Zestera for horses. I mean, it's just all natural. They've got the human side of it. They've got it all.
Yeah, I'm going to read some of the ingredients, though, for someone who is, you know, for people who are listening and driving and can't look it up. So it's 100% natural cattle supplement designed by, our fellow cattle ranchers. It's got mineral water, vegetable fats, soy oil, corn oil. It's hard to say soy oil, by the way.
Yeah.
Soy oil, corn oil, guar gum, glycerin, orange peel, and onion extract. So all, very relatable, all recognizable ingredients that are not, foreign to us in terms of like their usability in the food supply. So yeah, like I said, it sounds like you found something that works for you and it's helping you achieve your goals and get those cattle on feed. And so that's wonderful to hear that.
Yes, ma'am. You can actually get your calf started so much quicker. And then on the end, he hangs up better to boot. So it's a double plus.
Yeah, for sure. Well, looking into 2025 and beyond, here in the next 2 to 3 years, we haven't really seen much herd rebuilding happening yet. Although that might, we might hear, depending on how much rain or moisture everybody got, all this snow, we might see something like that happen. But, even if herd rebuilding starts this summer, that's not going to translate into more cattle in your yard for a couple years. So what do you see on the horizon for cattle feeders like yourself here in 2025, 2026? How does that, what do you see happening?
I see high dollar cattle. I mean, it's going to be high. It's going to be high to buy them. It's going to be high to sell them. It's going to be high to eat them. I mean, it's going to be costly. I mean, I think we've got a new norm. Like you said, it's, you look at all the land that's being took up by houses, by residential. I mean, they're taking land away for agriculture. They're taking land away to have the cow-calf operation as well. And then what it's going to cost, I mean, I hear some of them pairs and stuff bringing $4,000 and $5,000. I mean, that's going to take somebody pretty stout to rebuild a very big herd with a cow-calf deal costing something like that. So I think in the end, we're just going to have to get ready. We're going to have to bear down. They're going to cost a little more to get. We're going to have to do a better job of taking care of them. Like with the Cadillac, if we're going to have to use stuff that we can keep our animal healthy, we can keep them to the bunk, we can get them fat quicker, we can get a return on our money quicker.
Well, you were right about that. You've been right about a lot, but the cow-calf pairs, that's bringing a lot of money. There's a herd. I just had to look it up here while you were talking because I remember seeing it on Facebook and I wanted to get the price right. But there's a ranch, had a complete dispersal, May like last weekend. It was fall pairs. They were Red Angus and Sim Angus cows. Calves at side. So they're going to calve this October, but they also have their calves at side. And they sold for $5,000 a pair. So that's a 3-in-1 for $5,000,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, 3-in-1.
Yeah, you need the price. We need, as cow-calf producers, we need prices to hold like that, for a couple years if you're going to recoup all the money that you put into a $5,000 3-in-1. So, and those were commercial cows. Those weren't purebred.
Some things people don't remember, you still got to feed that cow for the next 2 years, too, to get that other calf as well. So you've got more expense as well. So there is going to be a lot of expense in it. And, the cattle prices are going to have to stay pretty tight
to make that work.
And I don't think we've seen the high yet.
Really?
I mean, I'm not sure we've actually seen the high yet. I've heard some people say that we haven't. And like what you said, I haven't seen a lot of replacement in the cow-calf deal. And when it does, you're probably 3 years away for three or four. From the time they really start producing, you're probably 3 to 4 years away, maybe five, before you really start seeing it in the feed yard. So, I mean, it's some time.
Yeah, like we were talking earlier, if people at the very earliest start retaining heifers, you know, as a fall producer,
right,
we're going to mean the first week in May, we're a fall calving herd. So your retention isn't going to start till, you know, we don't always sell right at weaning. We might 60-day wean or something like that. So, but retention at the earliest for us starts now. And we don't, you know, we wouldn't be breeding those heifers again until this fall. So it's going to be another 2 years from this fall till you'd even see a calf on the ground, and you got another 15-ish months before that one. So it's a ways out. I mean, it's three and a quarter years, probably. I would say maybe at the minimum, just doing the math, right? Like, I think I'm looking at the math way that way.
Probably something like that. You know, when that calf hits a feed yard, it's probably going to feed for 200 days in the feed yard, depending on what it weighs coming in. But most of ours feed anywhere from 190 to 300 days on feed, depending on what they come in weighing. But
yeah, so it's, like you said, it's not going to flip. You know, the pendulum is not going to come swing back the other way for quite some time. I'll have my toddler will be in kindergarten probably before it swings back.
Correct.
So as someone who has, as a cow calf producer, we do seed stock. So I'm not selling many, you know, at that weaning or that 60-day wean, but we do have some commercial cows and do a lot of freezer beef. And so that small group of them that we do sell, you know, commercial, they're looking pretty nice right now. So
no, they ought to be looking really good right now.
So based on that, do you have any advice to offer, you know, your fellow cattle feeders, you know, moving forward, or, you know, what do you have to say about that?
As we move forward, we're going to have to try to buy cattle that we can get along with. And, you know, a lot of your high risk cattle are going to be something we're going to have to try to stay away from, because they just cost so much. You can't, like you say, we can't stand to have the death loss and stuff in the cattle. So we need these cattle to be took care of on the cow. We need, you know, we need the cow calf guys giving them some IBRs, putting some precautions in them before we get them to the feed yard. It's going to take us all working together to make everything work out, because if the cow calf guy's not making good, it's not going to help me in the end either. We've all got to work together from start to finish to have a good product in all the way through. And that's where I think the cattle active comes in. If the cow calf guy will be giving it to them calves whenever they're branding and then at weaning, well, that's going to help that calf when he gets to me to go on as well. And I'm going to be giving it to him when he hits me to keep them guts in shape, keep that pH right, keep everything going correctly for him. And like we said, the new norm, they're going to be high dollar. You better bear down and just be ready.
Bear down. Well, depending on who you are, I guess if you're buying them, yeah, you're going to have to bear down, because that's going to hurt. But if you're selling them, you're going to be happy about it. So
Right.
It's time for our famous three.
Well, we've come to the point here in the episode where I asked the same three questions of every guest. And I did give Kirk a heads up on these, so I'm not springing them on him last minute. But the first one is, what is your favorite beef or cattle related resource? It could be a book, an extension agent, a website, pharmaceutical rep. It could be anything. You know, what's your favorite beef or cattle related resource?
Beef and Cattle Raisers Association put out a magazine ever so often there. And I like that really good. My nutritionist, you know, I get a lot of information from him, from the nutritionist I have as well. And those will probably be my two go-tos on that. I mean, like you say, you do have the internet now, so you can look up whatever you want to on there. So
yeah, that's true.
If you're smart enough to figure out the computer.
Well, if you can wade through the muck and find the actual facts.
Exactly.
So if let's flip it here, what is your favorite non-beef or cattle related book, or one that you're currently reading, or, you know, another, you know, something like that?
The main book I read is, I read the Bible. I try to read the Bible every day. That's the main book I want to read.
Okay.
So
That works.
I figure if I stay good with the good Lord take care of me. So
now that's a good mindset to have. I agree. Okay. And then our last one here is, when you think of someone you admire or look up to, what's a characteristic they have that has led them to be successful?
Let's see. That'd probably be my granddad. He's probably the one I looked up to the most, my granddad. And he had hard work. He had good thoughts. He did the right thing at each time, and his word was what he meant. So, and everything he did, he did for mankind, and he did for the cattle industry. And he actually raised straight Herefords. He was a Hereford breeder back in the day, and of course we're out of that. We're just commercial now, but on our cow calf deal. But he had the registered Hereford. They had some of the show cattle and stuff back there at the time, but. He liked the industry, and I guess that's where I got it in my blood.
Those are wonderful qualities to have. It sounds like he was a mountain of a man.
Yes, ma'am, he was.
Well, that is all the questions I have for you today, and we've reached the end of our time here. But thank you so much, Kirk, for joining us. I have really enjoyed talking to you. I could sit and talk about cows. If listeners have questions for you or they want to learn more about our discussion, is there somewhere I can send them to do that?
They can shoot me an email or they can look me up on Facebook. I'm on Facebook too. So I'm not very good on Facebook, but I am there.
Okay.
So.
If you want to talk more to him about cattle feeding or health management or cattle active, you'd be sure to reach out to him and do that. So thank you again, Kirk, for being here. Thank you to our sponsor, Pro Earth Animal Health, for backing this episode. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in, and we'll meet you back here next week on the Beef Podcast.
All right. Thank you, Brandy. Appreciate it.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.